So computer scientist to magician, recruiter,
so
motivational.
I was a computer nerd and an AV nerd.
Yeah.
So I wanted to study computer science.
Yeah.
Showed up at Iowa State University, and it turns out if you can't do math, you'll never survive computer science.
Okay.
Transferred to management information systems,
okay,
which is computer science business.
Yes.
Graduated with that. Towards the end of that, I knew that marketing would be a much better fit.
Right.
So basically, and this is, I'm graduating in 06, so this is before the iPhone and before apps.
Right.
Right, back then it was a lot of like COBOL, Fortran, and like a lot of this like corporate IT that's not super interesting.
Yeah.
So luckily I couldn't cut the math, so I ended up in management information systems. By the end of college, I had realized that there are good programmers, bad programmers.
Yes.
But I hadn't found any happy programmers.
You didn't find any happy ones.
And I think it's a lot better now.
It is now, but right back then,
because
yes.
Now, like a 19-year-old can like launch an app and change the world, right?
You can make a lot of progress quickly.
Exactly, but
not then.
That's not what we were being trained for.
Right.
Exactly,
got it.
We were being trained for like COBOL and Fortran and correcting updating code from the 70s, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So graduated, worked in transportation, then insurance. Got my CPCU. Became really passionate about insurance. I worked with the Nationwide Insurance Young Professional Employee Group.
Oh, wow, okay.
I grew that into several different offices, and when I left Nationwide, I really missed that work. That's what started Insurance Nerds, which is the blog. And then Nick Lamparelli came around, and Nick said, you guys need a podcast. So So we started the podcast, he started it.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be interviews with carrier VPs about their careers and how they did it.
Oh, I got it.
And carrier VPs in the U.S. can never get permission to come on the podcast. Carriers are really conservative, and PR never
from
lets
PR
them.
And
yes,
like a corporate communication.
Even if you let PR sit in on the podcast,
they still won't let it.
It's very rare.
Okay.
So Nick started interviewing founders that were trying to come after insurance in what is now called InsurTech.
Right. Got it.
So that's how that happened. I wrote the book on how to engage millennials with insurance, started speaking a lot on that topic. Eventually, I was still, when my book came out, I was still a middle market underwriter at Liberty Mutual. Liberty, like every other carrier, is very conservative, and they were very uncomfortable with me getting invited to speak at a bunch of conferences and all the
as
other stuff
Liberty
I was
employee,
doing.
And
I was never saying the word Liberty.
It was your own personal views, right? But they didn't want you to be associated with that.
I was always saying Tony with Insurance Nerds, but I was on payroll, right?
Got it.
So it didn't get to the point that they showed me the door. I ended up joining the largest recruiting firm within insurance. Did that for 4.5 years. Last year, I opened my own shop.
Right.
The branding used to be Superman shirt and red jacket.
I saw that.
And then during COVID, I rebranded for the top hat.
Yeah.
And the top hat doesn't fit in my luggage. So I wear it on the airport, I wear it everywhere. And people start asking, are you a magician? I used to say no. And then after ITC last year, on the way back home to Atlanta, Georgia, people were asking me, are you a magician? And I realized that, like, oh, I used to be when I was a kid. What happened? And I started relearning it.
Hey, you should do a trick on me today, right? and by the way, we share that magical sense of mystery and intrigue and, you know, like, how do you make something appear when it's not something else? We should talk about that.
Okay.
We should talk about that later.
So,
but anyway,
so
I interrupted you.
No, worries.
They said, are you a magician? And
yes.
You said no. So then you've learned to be a magician?
Exactly. So the last 6 months I've spent retraining myself.
Really?
To do magic, yes.
That's incredible.
And I'm having absolutely a blast doing it. that's just an effect, not an actual trick. But
that's great.
It is so much fun to do magic. So let's do the actual update.
Right.
Okay. So today we have
Tim Hardcastle.
Tim Hardcastle.
Yeah.
CEO of InStandUp.
And co-founder.
CEO and co-founder of InStandUp.
Yeah.
So InStandUp has been on the podcast in the past.
Yeah.
Don't remember the episode number.
Yeah.
But it is there.
Yeah.
So I'd love an update on what InStandUp is doing.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years, and they'll start there. So what is InStandUp, and especially how has it changed in the last couple of years?
So can I just ask you a question?
Absolutely.
First? So when you are showing your magician acts, people say, how the heck do you do that?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what they say to us all the time.
And the answer the answer is, I can't tell you because I would lose my membership
in
the Brotherhood.
Yeah, we don't mind sharing our secrets, but InStandUp was designed to be something unique and something different in terms of giving the power of change and speed, controlling the speed and pace of when you go to market, when you make your pricing changes, how which risks you select. It gives all of that power to the people that use it. And that is not the way that technology for the last 20, 30 years has been designed.
Oh, and with the insurance.
So we come to insurance a bit like you, I guess, as a little bit like magicians, in that we provide this amazing technology and people say, I can't believe it. How do you do that? It's incredible. And we love that because it gives people, I mean, like, you're a very colorful character, right? And I do believe the majority of people in insurance are frustrated, creative, innovative people, right? But they're just held back by whether it's corporate structure and process and basically bad technology. They can't use the technology to get stuff done, to give customers what they really want. And that's what we offer, a platform that enables them to do the things they really want.
Before InstantDeck, the traditional, and I'm a former underwriter, not a former product person, but the traditional standing up on your product, we're talking 18 months, 2 years would be a fairly fast.
That's true.
Right?
Okay.
So with InstantDeck, when I chatted with you guys a couple years ago, there was talk of like 10 weeks, 12 weeks.
Well, Nick, your partner, right?
Yes.
He used to be at Green Shield.
Yes.
They've just gone live with us as a client. They did it in less than 12 weeks.
Less than 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, for a brand new product.
Yeah.
So that was unheard of in insurance prior to InstantDeck.
It's not unheard of in our client community, but in the world, general world of insurance, then yes, it's unheard of. And listen, it's not just about getting the product to market. Mm-hmm. That's one way in which you can create value. You can go into niches. So we work with a lot of MGAs, particularly that are looking to, you know, generate value for their owner managers, and they'll find niches and they'll be really good at it. They'll penetrate and they want something that's really flexible. And because the product is different, because of that niche, I think you call it in the US, then they need something that allows them to do that quickly and not at high cost, right? So we have a lot of MGA clients, and then they use our platform as their core system, right? So as their system of record. I think the big change for us in the last 18 months is, aside from our big fundraise, which we did last year, I'm happy to say that was the last fundraise we ever need to do, so we're
fantastic.
We're in a bit of a different situation from many others. But we're now working with a lot more of the larger companies. And I think that's really fascinating to me, is because, you know, the MGAs to some extent represent a competitive risk to the larger carriers because they take market share. Some of them are tied to them and they get the capacity.
Yeah.
So it depends. But the carriers themselves, they want, at its heart, they just want power and control. I mean, when you're doing your tricks, right? You feel good because you know what's happening, the audience is reacting, you know. The carriers want to feel the same way. They want to be able to do some magic for their customers. They want to be able to be in control of the changes they make to their propositions. And they can't do that with the technology they have. And so, you know, we just come through a process, albeit in the UK. We were up against two of the largest companies in the world, the so-called market leaders. I won't name them, it's obvious. And this board of this very big company chose us. And that's for us a big watershed moment.
Absolutely.
Because I think InsurTech is absolutely essential for insurance. It provides new ideas, new ways of looking at things. It challenges the status quo. But the problem is, you've got to be kind of grown up. You've got to be like resilient. You've got to be, you know, have a balance sheet. You've got to be able to say you're going to be around for the next 20, 30 years.
Yeah, we sell promises.
Right? We sell promises. And, you know, for us, the big shift has been in the last 18 months is we've done a lot of growing up with our fundraise. We have a great balance sheet, and big companies look at us and say, hey, why do I need to pay 5-10 times as much for this technology that's not flexible? Why don't I go and choose something like InstantDeck, which is 5-10 times cheaper, better value, and far faster and more, gives me more agility, and I'm in control of my technology. So this is the big shift that's happening for us. I'm really excited about it. We've got a lot of work to do, of course, but I think we're in a great place, and I'm looking forward to the next few days here and the next few months as well, as we
make
our plans ahead.
So you guys are at the point where you're grown up enough at this point, right?
You're
not a brand new.
Exactly.
So much easier for a carrier to trust you.
Yeah.
So we're recording on day one of ITC 2023. Yeah. So 2023 has been a very different year from 2022.
It has, very much so.
How's that looking for you?
There's a lot of shifts. I mean, I think, you know, if you talk about things from a capacity perspective, I think, you know, underwriting criteria are narrowing. Capacity is less available to the MGAs. I think premiums are going up. It depends on what lines, of course. So the market is, you know, it's a hard market. It's just tough. But I think the insurance carriers are enjoying it. Interest rates are coming up, right? They're getting better returns. but they're not being quite as adventurous in terms of expansion through MGA outlets and so on. So we're seeing a slowdown in the MGA community in terms of coming to use platforms like us, but we're seeing an uptick in some of the carriers that now are willing to invest and partner with bigger grown-up insurtechs. I think for InsurTech Connect here, what's interesting to me is it's not quite reflecting the outside trends where insurtechs, I think, are struggling to get capital and there's been a bit of a slowdown in investment. You know, you look at the stats, I think I was counting it up, maybe my accounting was not accurate, but last year was like maybe 180 stands. This year there's only over 500.
Really?
Yeah. It's like this thing has gone multiple up. If you look at literally the layout of the stand area, it's incredible.
I haven't been into the vendor room yet. I'm not a vendor, so
they're still, by the way, they're still building it. So it's a health and safety risk. I wouldn't go in.
They kicked me out last year.
Yeah.
But it was already massive. It was already
this is another level. And so congratulations to the organizers. They've taken it to the next level, right? And this is what the industry needs, right? I know tough times out there in many respects, but this is a global epicenter of getting everybody in insurance together. You've got investors, you've got startups, you've got carriers, you've got you guys. I mean, there's a whole range of people here.
The geographic spread
it's
incredible, right? Yeah. The first time at ITC, that was one of the things that was really impressive to me, is how this is not US and Canada. Yeah. This is truly people from all over the place.
Yeah.
The Israeli delegation last year was at least a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
The Latino delegation keeps growing.
Japan. You've got a lot we got clients in Japan. There's a number of them were asking us about this. It's a very diverse, very international. I mean, and clearly it's the core of the US market. The US market is the biggest on the planet. So it's great. You've got Vegas is a fantastic place to be. I mean, the scale of the event here and the things that you can do in Vegas, I think is fantastic. So it's a great place to come every year and thoroughly enjoy it and connect and network. And, you know, we're excited to meet a lot of our clients and prospects and have these kind of conversations. So, you know, for us, we're very much a kind of, you know, advocates of this event, and we thoroughly enjoy it.
And what's your booth number?
2959.
2959. And you said you wanted to see a trick.
Yes, please.
Okay, so we will see if this works or if it's a bit camera shy, but we'll give it our best shot.
Okay.
So go ahead and name any card in the deck.
Okay, Ace of Spades.
That is the most commonly named card.
Why I called it.
It would not be as impressive.
Okay. Let me give you one. Six of Hearts.
Perfect. Perfectly
six
random.
Of hearts, right.
Perfect. And you still got it right. That's amazing.
Okay.
Because this whole deck is facing down.
Yes.
Right. The whole thing is facing down.
Yeah.
A single card.
Yeah.
Is facing up. And that card, you said Six of Hearts, right?
Yeah, I did.
That card just happens to be the Six of Hearts.
That's incredible.
All the other ones are facing down, yeah. And go ahead and grab the Six of Hearts.
Oh, thank you.
Flip it around.
There we go. He's right. Oh, no. It's the only card
from a different deck. Wow. So I am not entirely sure how you knew.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is a great magician, aside from being a brilliant podcaster and many other things. So I can witness that.
I'm not sure how you knew that it was the Six of Hearts, but it was.
Fantastic, Tony.
Thank you. A real pleasure chatting with you today.
Pleasure to talk to you too.
And the website is instanda.com. So that's instda.com.
Yeah.
And truly, like you compared it to Magic earlier, I agree. If you can stand up an insurance product in 10, 12 weeks.
And you've got the unit economics of 5, 10 times lower than anything else.
That is a different game.
A no-brainer, right?
That's a different game. It's a no-brainer. A different game from what we were playing in the past of insurance.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Great to talk to you.
Good luck in the rest of the conference.
Thank you. Cheers.
Got it?